Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David. This is a Southland Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation. Now it's time to 12 times every year, Texas, today is July 5, 2014. All right, the ninth day of the fourth week of March 2018, we will start our third service on this Sabbath day with a song entitled, No Tears in Heaven. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given, all will be glory in heaven land. There'll be no sadness, all will be gladness, when we shall join the happy band. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flowed. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Glory is waiting, waiting up yonder, where we shall spend the endless day. There with the Savior we'll be forever, where no more sorrow can dismay. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Only yonder we'll cease to ponder what things this life has brought to you. All will be clear, loved ones be dear, in heaven all will be made new. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, sorrow and pain will all have flown. No tears in heaven fair, no tears, no tears up there, no tears in heaven will be known. Hello everyone, once again this is Elijah David. We're going into this new series of Jezreel's letters. There's about nine of them. There's a lot of new light to come out of this information. We're going to start with Jezreel's letter number one again at the very beginning. It says, Dear fellow believer in the third angel's message. Now, if we have people today that can't understand beyond Jezreel number 9, which he only encompasses the three angels' messages in his nine letters, apparently. I'm sure that's right. That's all he encompasses, because these letters are to the Advent. And if anyone today that's supposedly can't understand beyond Rose Johnson's teaching, the last one to close out the Adventist church, and the three angels' messages, if they can't understand beyond that, it just simply means that these letters are for them, that they are three angels' messages, people, and all the understanding they have is of the three angels' messages. So this is who this message is for. We're going to defer, though, first to a prayer thought taken from Jeremiah chapter 1. It says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth, in the land of Benjamin. Unto him the word of Yahweh came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah. In the 13th year of his reign, it came also in the days of the Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of the Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nation. Then said I, O Yahweh Elohim, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Yahweh said unto me, Say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Yahweh. And the Yahweh put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Yahweh said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Now this is our commission here for the antiquated Elijah David. We have this Jeremiah's commission to fulfill here in this 12th periodic hour. Moreover, the word of the Yahweh came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Yahweh unto me, Thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Now he's talking about here in the 12th hour. Once that scripture number 11 has... Or number 10 has been met. It says, See, I have this day set thee over the nations. Okay? We are told that the kingdom, and whoever overcomes here in the end time, him will I give to rule over the nations. So now here Jeremiah in this prophecy has said that he is set to rule over the nation. And over the kingdoms, to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. So, this is the commission of this antiquated Elijah here in the 12th hour. It's to plant, restore, and build up. Okay, and the word of Yahweh came unto me the second time, saying, What seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot. And the face thereof is toward the north. It means that a pot that was boiling full of hot water. And the Yahweh said unto me, Out of the north an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. What was that evil? That was Nebuchadnezzar coming down from the north, taking Judah captive for 70 years. For lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Yahweh, and they shall come, and they shall sit every one on his throne at the entering of the gates of the Yerushalayim, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Now who is he talking to here in this prophecy that is to be this fulfillment here in these last days? He's talking to the antitypical Judah, which is the Davidians, starting with the Shepherd Rod, 1930-1970, after V.T. Hallock died, more preferably, talking about Ben Roden and Rose Johnson, those two leaders in Judah that committed all the abominations that their forefathers had committed before them. Okay, this is who he's talking to. Now therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee, be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, against the priests thereof, and against the people of the land. Now, if you turn to Ezekiel chapter 4, you'll find a similar prophecy about an iron pan, and you'll find that Ezekiel done, okay. Ezekiel, and he says he raised up as a wall between, let's read it. Then it says, Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, this is Ezekiel 4:3, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign unto the house of Israel. Okay, it says, And he says, verse 19 of Jeremiah 1, "And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee." He's talking about the house of David here, and this here, and this Jeremiah's prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 1. Then it goes out on into Jeremiah chapter 2, and he said, "Now, moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousal, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown, for the Israel was holiness unto the Yahweh, and the first fruits of the increase, all that devour him shall offend, evil shall come upon them, saith Yahweh. Hear ye the word of the Yahweh, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel." Okay, all the families would be his 12 sons of Jacob. Jacob's name is changed to Israel. His 12 sons are the families of Israel, of Jacob. "Thus saith Yahweh, What iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? Now the said day, where is the Yahweh that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, that led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of the shadow of death, through a land that no man passed through, and where no man dwelt? And I brought you into a plentiful country, to eat the fruit thereof and the goodness thereof, but when you entered, you defiled my land, and made mine heritage an abomination. The priest said not, Where is the Yahweh? And they that handle the law knew me not, for the pastors also transgressed against me, and the prophets prophesied by Baal, and walked after things that do not profit. Wherefore I will yet plead with you, saith the Yahweh, and with your children's children will I plead. For pass over the isles of the Chittim, and see, and send unto Kedar, and consider diligently, and see if there be such a thing. Hath the nation changed their gods, which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which doth not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith Yahweh, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of the living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is he spoiled? For the young lions roared upon him and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are burned without the inhabitant. Also the children of Noph and Tophanes have broken the crown of thy head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Yahweh the Elohim when he led thee by the way? And now, what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt to drink the waters of Shihor? Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Thy own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Yahweh the Elohim, and that my fear is not in thee, says Yahweh Elohim, Yahshua Messiah of the host, for the rebellion of Judah. For of old time I have broken my yoke, and burst thy band, and thou saidest, I will not transgress, when upon every high hill and under every green tree thou wondest plan the harlot. Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, wholly a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Now this is a prophecy that applies in these last days to Gilead Center, because Gilead Center is represented by that tender plant that grew up, and I will read about that right over there in Job 14:7. It says right there. We'll look at it. It says there is hope of a tree if it be cut down. It says, for there is a hope of a tree if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not see. Okay, the hope of that tree of Jesse, which represents the advent of the church, is that it produces a tender plant that grows up from the roots of it. So he says, yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a right seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine on me? For thou, though thou wast wash thee with the niter and take thee in much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith Yahweh Elohim. How can thou say, I am not polluted? I have not gone after Balaam. See thy way in the valley, and know what thou hast done. Thou art a swift dromedary, traversing her ways, a wild ass used to the wilderness, that snuffeth up the wind at her pleasure and her occasion. Who can turn her anyway away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves in her mouth. They shall find her. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest there is no hope. No, I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. As the thief is ashamed when he is found, so is the house of Israel ashamed. They, their kings, their princes, and their priests, and their prophets, saying to a stock, thou art my father, and to a stone, thou hast brought me forth. For they have turned their back unto me, and not their face, but in the time of their trouble they shall say, arise and save us. But where are thy gods that thou hast made thee? Let them arise, if they can save thee in the time of thy trouble. For according unto the number of thy cities are thy gods, O Judah. Wherefore will ye plead with me? Ye all have transgressed against me, saith Yahweh. In vain have I smitten your children, they receive no correction. Your own sword hath devoured your prophets like a destroying lion. O generation, see ye the word of Yahweh? Have I been a wilderness unto Israel, a land of darkness? Wherefore say my people, we are lords, we will come no more unto thee. Can a maid forget her ornament? Her ornaments are a bride, her attire. Yet my people have forgotten me days without number. Why trimmest thou thy way to seek love? Therefore hast thou also taught the wicked ones thy way. Also in thy skirts is found the blood of the souls of the poor innocent. I have not found it by a secret search, but upon all these. Yet thou sayest, because I am innocent, surely his anger shall turn from me. Behold, I will plead with thee, because thou sayest, I have not sinned. Why gettest thou about so much to change thy way? Thou also shalt be ashamed of Egypt, as thou wast ashamed of Assyria. Yea, thou shalt go forth from him, and thine hands upon thine head. For the Yahweh hath rejected thy confidences, and thou shalt not prosper in them. Okay. So this is Jeremiah's prophecy unto the Latter-day Judah today. And so we will continue on now with our study on Jezreel's letters number 1 to this. For the three angels' messages, for the people that only have the three angels' messages. And let's see, it says that since this is a very timely opportunity to pen a few friendly lines unto you, and see there is no sweeter message than that which comes from Elohim, I have chosen to greet you with it. Now this is Jezreel's letter number 1. V.T. Hall says he's the antitypical Jezreel, because Yahweh ordained that one of the laity, Jezreel, his chosen agent, was to herald the message to Ami and Ru-Ami, that's his younger brother and sister, his brethren, that is, in the Adventist church, and sisters who in turn were to plead with their mother, the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist church. It says, heaven's voice unto Laodicea, inspiration declares, is of the supreme consequence unto every Laodicean. To all of us Seventh-day Adventists, parentheses, so V.T. Austin included him as one of the Laodicean, And the duty of every one of us to heed it is no less supreme if we are to be spared from being spewed out, Revelation 3:16. So this has to be a prophecy for the end of the 11th hour. V.T. Hallett prophesied it that way. He said he was in the 11th hour, so he is saying then that the 11th hour is the last parabolic hour, and as soon as it's over with, that if we don't heed the message of the three angels' messages, we're going to be spewed out. Okay. So, we know he taught the fourth and fifth angel has been the angel that swelled the third angel in the loudest cry, all right. And he taught the Revelation 18 of one angel as the one that came down from heaven with the fifth angel's message. He taught that. But in essence, all that Adventists, the fourth group of laborers, ever understood in the three angels' messages, clear up to 2002, through the three feeding pastures, that's all they ever understood, was the three angels' messages. But this weighty fact, inescapably in view, what grave of responsibility is upon the one whom Elohim has charged with taking heaven's message unto his people in Laodicea? But he's saying that this antithetical Jezreel is charged with taking heaven's message unto his people and lives here. And what did I tell the prophet of the candlestick in July 14, 2002? I said, I have a message from heaven. Okay. So there's a message from heaven to his people and lives here via his prophet. Consequently, what unforgiving sin would be his should he neglect to seek out every possible avenue for the carrying of the message unto every home that would open its door? What carefulness, therefore, must he exercise to seek every possible opportunity to give all possible assistance unto every soul in the steering of a straight and steady course clear unto the Canaan's land? Hence this urgent effort is in your behalf. For some time now you have had the 11th hour publications. Okay. So let us stand at that. We know V.T. Hallett wrote this in the 10th parabolic hour, and that's the hour he was occupying. But nevertheless, let's let it stand, because this message is for the 11th hour people starting in 1970 anyway. For some time now, you have had the 11th hour publication, Tracts and Time of Grief, postmarked Waco, including a copy of the 1950 General Conference Special, and the White House Recruiter, all bearing the light of Elohim so direly needed at this traumatic hour of the time, the long-expected message of the sealing of the 144,000, the purification of the church, the judgment of the living in the house of Elohim, the message to the letter sin, the loud cry, and kindred events. I am confident, therefore, that in your desire to be a wide-awake, Elohim-fearing Adventist, you cannot, in the very nature of the case, fail of being impressed and stirred by the tremendous truth which these publications bear for this time. And when you consider the wide and sober reception according to the White House Recruiter, as it entered thousands upon thousands of Adventist homes the world over, surely you cannot help but be still the more impressed. Indeed, never has any other truth-laden publication to enter Adventist homes been so widely and so soberly received. And the incident to this singularly responsive reception is a significant fact, which may well be all important unto you, that many of those who, for the very good reasons, are not yet openly declaring their stand, are already requesting us to make it possible for them privately to take the course which the recruiter announces. I am therefore gratified to announce herewith that it is my happy lot to deploy the entire 11th hour staff to answer in the person all such requests. Thus, when one of us is in your vicinity, you will have golden opportunity to have him personally, privately, and in the strict confidence open tap into you the message in the connection with the consequential events so soon to take place in our midst. Events which inspiration now for the first time brings into the noonday light rather before our eyes, and which the prophets forecast in the following words: Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, but who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, Malachi 3:1-2. For the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his soul. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. For by the fire and by his sword will the Yahweh plead with all the flesh, and the strength of Yahweh shall be made. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nation, unto the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto Yahweh out of all nations, unto my holy mountain, Yahushua, saith Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering and a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:16-20. Because the purification is now the church's only hope, the devil is doing all in his power through the medium of the idolized man, apparently no less pious than the priest who crucified the Yeshua, to suppress knowledge of it and to create fear, prejudice, hatred, and confusion against the voice of the Elohim and to blacken the character of his agency. Now, I'll tell you one thing. Whenever they were dismissing me from their midst, the Gilead Center, starting with the leader, they did everything they will to blacken my character and my 32 years that I spent there. They never mentioned one good thing that I'd ever done. But they mentioned all the bad things they could think of. Okay. Moreover, the enemies exalted zealous, so well satisfied that they have need of nothing, are already in spite of the heaven's commands to the contrary, casting out of the churches anyone who investigates Elohim's message unto the latest end, or who conforms unto it. What or what has the denomination degenerated into? What exceeding folly to? For it to assume to dictate unto its members whose writings they should read and whose they should not read, as if they had neither mind nor conscience of their own, and as if Elohim either could not or would not convict them through their own intellects, but must depend on the intellects of the ministers who, by the such folly, are unconsciously assuming to take Elohim's place, their very act of not only discouraging, but even prohibiting the reading of the publication is in itself a strong evidence that the publication contained the truth for this time, and that the Elohim's that the enemy wants Elohim's people to be ignorant of it. One can scarcely conceive of any other design so well calculated to make of the Elohim's people mental and spiritual invalids, and in the consequence to keep them in the submissive ignorance of the fact that the plan of salvation demands that they be enlightened Christians, able to see with their own eyes and to know at their own hearts what is what and what is who, and what and who is who. Both high and low seem to forget that no sooner the messengers of the Elohim appear in their respective time, Judaism, Romanism, and Protestantism all unwittingly fell prey unto this foolish scheme. For their failure to bind forever in the darkness, the free-minded in their day, though, should now be an eye-opener unto us all, that our hostile brethren too will fail to bind in the darkness forever the free-minded of this day. For the free-minded sooner or later discover that anyone who cannot for himself decide what is of the truth and what is of the error is destitute of the spirit of the Elohim, having no contact with the heaven and having no part in it. Those who have not yet discovered this inviolable law stand face to face with the stark reality that it is high time that they discover it immediately, and that they fully realize that in violating it, they are only making absolutely certain of the missing eternity, and that even though Noah, Daniel, and Job be their neighbors, and they hold tight unto all three of them, yet unless they stop breaking this inviolable law, they are doomed. They are damned. Then too, all who with the closed eyes and heart condemn the work of the others are blind unto the disastrous fact that he that answers the matter before he hears it directly from his source, it is folly and shame unto him. Proverbs 18:13. In the face of these certainties, surely you cannot afford to turn a deaf ear unto the voice herein pleading that everyone make a thorough investigation of the contents in these 11th hour publication, which in the profuse quantities are now being freely, without the money, without price, circulated throughout Laodicea. These publications, you note, unseal the scriptures which constitute this additional message. See early writings, page 277. All of which have hitherto been sealed, and thus enveloped in a mystery and surrounded by the question, marks a fact which in itself is absolute proof that never before have more timely, more important publications entered into the Adventist home. Perhaps you are fully aware of this. Should you, however, have questions which you would like to discuss in the private, you need only request that one of us visit you while we are laboring in your vicinity. Also, if you know of other open-minded, free-thinking, truth-seeking brethren, I shall appreciate your mentioning how many, and if they wish, or wish, you may send in their names and addresses, either for our mailing list, or for a private interview, or for both. You may address me as V.T. Jezreel, H.B., Mount Carmel Center, Waco, Texas. Every relevant scriptural consideration dictates that there is only one safe, sane, and honorable course for any of us to pursue when the prophetic revelation challenges consideration, especially at this most crucial hour in history. We must shun, as we would death, the spirit which controlled the Jews and the nominal churches, all of whom as a result rejected the heaven-sent messages in their respective time. Well, that hasn't changed a bit, clear down to the last heaven-sent messenger, Brother W. Johnson at Gilead Center. That held up all through for 3,500 years. Our only salvation is to determine for ourselves at the first hand, free from the influence of the others, the certainty and authenticity of the voice that is now crying aloud throughout Laodicea. Because the mind that depends upon the judgment of others is certain sooner or later to be misled. Education, page 231. Only the spirit of the Elohim working through our individual minds can lead us into all truth if we give ear unto it. The spirit of prophecy further warned. There is yet much precious truth to be revealed in the people in this time of the peril and darkness. But it is Satan's determined purpose to prevent the light of the truth from shining into the hearts of men. If we would have the light that has been provided for us, we should show our desire for it by diligently searching the word of Elohim. Precious truths that have long been in the obscurity are to be revealed in a light that will make manifest their sacred worth. The Elohim will glorify his word, that it may appear in a light in which we have never before beheld. Council on Sabbath School Work, page 25. There is no excuse for anyone in the taking the position that there is no more truth to be revealed, that all our expositions of the scriptures are without an error. the fact that certain doctrines have been held as the truth for many years by our people is not a proof that our ideas are infallible. Age will not make error into truth, and truth can afford to be fair. No true doctrine will lose anything by the close investigation. Counsels with writers and editors, page 35. Precious lives that shine forth from the word of Elohim, and let no one presume to dictate what shall or what shall not be brought before the people in the messages of the enlightenment that he shall send, and so quench the spirit of Elohim. Whatever may be his position of the authority, no one has the right to shut away the light from the people. Okay, that's on Council on Sabbath School Work, page 28. A message comes that you do not understand, take pain that you may hear the reason the messenger may give, comparing scripture with scripture, that you may know whether or not it is sustained by the word of the Elohim. If you believe that the positions taken have not the word of the Elohim for their foundation, if the position you hold on the subject cannot be controverted, then produce your strong reason, for your position will not be shaken by coming in contact with the error. There is no virtue or manliness in keeping up a continual warfare in the dark. Closing your eyes, lest you may see. Closing your ears, lest you may hear. Harden your heart in ignorance and unbelief, lest you may have to humble yourself and acknowledge that you have received light on some points of the truth. Council on Sabbath School Work, page 29. When asked to hear the reasons of a doctrine that you do not understand, do not condemn the message until you have given it a thorough investigation and know from the word of Yahweh that it is not tenable. Council on Sabbath School Work, 31-32. When a view of the scripture is presented, many do not ask, is it true in the harmony with the Elohim's word, but by whom is it advocated? And unless it comes through the very channel that pleases them, they do not accept it. So thoroughly satisfied are they with their own idea that they will not examine the scripture evidence with a desire to learn, but refuse to be interested merely because of their prejudices. Yahweh often works where we least expect Him. He surprises us by the revealing His power through the instruments of His own choice. While He passes by the men unto whom we have looked as those through whom light should come, Elohim desires us to receive the truth upon His own merits, because it is the truth. Testimonies, Mission 106. Beware of rejecting that which is the truth, for the great danger with our people has been that of the depending upon men and making flesh their arm. Those who have not been in the habit of searching the Bible for themselves, or when evident, have confidence in the leading men and accept the decisions they make, and thus many will reject the very messages Elohim sends unto His people. If these leading brethren do not accept them, Testimony Ministry, page 106 and 107. Men, women, and youth Elohim requires you to possess moral courage, steadiness of His purpose, fortitude and perseverance, minds that cannot take the assertions of another, but which will investigate for themselves before receiving or rejecting that will study and weigh evidence and take it unto the Yahweh and the prayer. Testimony, Volume 3, page 130. Astonishingly, though, the predominant voice within the denomination boldly teaches its members the very contrary of what these heaven-inspired passages are forequoted plainly, declare conspicuously. Therefore, do these passages expose it to be the voice of the enemy in the high places, quietly rocking all to sleep and vigilantly watching that none even awake them to their great need of the Elohim's truth for the swiftly approaching time of the judgment of the living, the great and dreadful day of the Yahweh. This can only apply to Gilead's sinner, because the judgment of the living succeeded their movement. This shameless disregard of the inspiration's counsel now stands nakedly unmasked for what it actually is, another of the enemy's artful inside efforts to keep Elohim people oblivious unto their mounting peril by keeping them drugged deeply asleep in the lukewarm atmosphere, perfectly satisfied, and with their minds fixed that they have need of the nothing, and that they are doing a great missionary work, although the Yahweh himself declares that they are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked and know it not, Revelation 3:17. Satan, moreover, could never have fired their minds with the pride and prejudice and fear. It said, all calculated to make them hostily regard any purportedly a fresh heaven-sent revelation, and very mindful of the counsel which the enemies of the Elohim, while pretending to be friends of the people, pass on so as to keep themselves forever lukewarm in the deadly peril of their life. None of us could ever have fallen victims unto this little sin malady had all of us as a people been studying for ourselves and giving diligent heed unto the inspirations, warning, counsel in the following passage. For the enemy is preparing for his last campaign against the church. He has so concealed himself from the view that many can hardly believe that he exists, much less can they be convinced of his amazing activity and power. They have a great extent forgotten his past record, and when he makes another advanced move, they will not recognize him as their enemy, that old serpent, but they will consider him a friend and one who is doing a good work. Testimony, Volume 5, page 294. Only by giving ear unto what inspiration says and by shunning all voices contrary unto his voice can any of us survive the judgment and secure a place in the soon coming kingdom of the Elohim. This kingdom of Elohim is this everlasting kingdom of David that is set up now. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. 1 Thessalonians 5:21. It's heaven's admonition unto all. Only thus can we make sure what Elohim requires us to know, and to do so that he will not have to spew us out of his mouth, Revelation 3:16, but rather that our enemies be written in the book, and we be delivered from the swift coming time of the trouble, such as never was, Daniel 12, why? So if you are determined to know for yourselves the only heaven-appointed way of escape from being spewed out of this most momentous hour in time, just hasten me a line requesting that I, if possible or otherwise, a field worker, contact you and any others whose name and address you care to give us, so that all of you may both hear both sides. Then one of us shall visit you at the earliest opportunity and shall be of all service possible unto all concerned without any obligation unto anyone. Sincerely yours, to forfeit no opportunity to hear the reason the messenger may give. Counsels on Sabbath School Work, page 29. And then V.T. Holler closes out by signing it V.H. Jezreel, H.B. So people don't realize that V.T. Holler took on a new name. That's how he signed these letters, Jezreel. Okay, that's the end of letter number one, Jezreel. We're going to go right on into Jezreel's letter number two. And it starts with, dear fellow member, the only way for you to escape being taken by the wolves in the sheep's clothing is if you ever remember the fact that the judgment message, the last before the Yahshua comes the second time, is what makes us a people. That is because the message has come and because it has to be proclaimed. We Seventh-day Adventists came on the scene, and we certainly want to stay there until the work is finished. Okay, and I read the Holy Bible that the Seventh-day Adventists came on the scene, and the White House recruiter, as he mentioned earlier, that he sent into thousands of Adventist homes, he had in there that the Adventists were the fourth group of laborers, found in Matthew 20, verse 5, called at the ninth hour. And he's saying now, here in this letter to Jezreel, we certainly want to stay there until the work is finished. He's thinking that the Adventists is going to finish the work that they started in 1844. They're going to finish it with the close of probation. Okay. Let's continue. We must not become so become a back number as did the Protestant churches, since they rejected the messages one after another. Elohim forbid that we should be spewed out and lose so late in the day. And what is the truth of the judgment? I heard a little Adventist minister preaching one day to the group of Adventists at a church. And he said, Yahweh hinder. He said, I know what the prophecy said, that the Adventist is going to be spewed out. But he said, Yahweh hinder. Because the Adventist church is a church of destiny. It is to finish the work taking the gospel to a dying world, Matthew 24. When this gospel of the kingdom has been preached unto all nations as a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. He said, that's our commission. Yahweh hindered that this church should fail in that commission. And when he was through preaching, I met him at the door and I said, you're a very good actor. I said, the prophecy says that this church has an end. And I said, but you're a very good actor. I said, you saying Yahweh hindered won't change it one bit. Okay, now let's go on. For the judgment, as you know, is in two separate and distinct sections, one following the other. The judgment for the dead first, and the judgment for the living last. As we know, if so, and we must not let subversive influences, even if they be in a Seventh-day Adventist garb, cause us to lose sight of this truth. Our part of the judgment message since 1844 has been, as you know, to proclaim the judgment for the dead and not for the living as yet. What is the judgment for the dead? Well, here's V.T. Hollis saying that we're in the 11th hour, and that our job is to preach the judgment for the dead. All the time he was saying that the judgment for the living began in 1930 with the Shepherd Rod movement. So you see, V.T. Hollis, he had a tongue-in-cheek here. He couldn't remember everything he said at different times. And so he just said things as they came to his mind. And that's why the prophecy in Ezekiel says you're to take water by measure. You're to take this truth by measure, a little bit at a time. That's what V.T. Oliver was doing, but he was getting his hours mixed up. So the 10th and the 11th and the 12th parabolic hours. Okay. We have been taught by the inspiration that it is to separate the good from the bad, not bodily, but in the books, because before the resurrection, the dead have to have no being or portion in anything that is done under the sun, Ecclesiastes 9:5-6. This judgment work is to enable the angels to know who is to come up in the first resurrection, in the resurrection of the Holy One, Revelation 20, verse 4 and 5, Revelation 11 through 14, and who is to come up in the second resurrection, in the resurrection of the Unholy One. Under this end, declares Daniel, the judgment was set and the books were opened, Daniel 7:10. Thus it is that inspiration called the judgment work the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14. That is, each professor of the religion that ever died since the beginning of the sin is now judged, and the case of each decided either to bring him up in the first resurrection or in the second, either to blot out from the records of the name of each impenitent sinner, or to blot out forever from the books the sins of each penitent sinner. This has been heaven's work ever since the year of 1844. And every informed Seventh-day Adventist knows it. Now, since the message of the judgment for the living is of far greater importance than the message of the judgment for the dead, It is but expected that the Bible will have more to say about the latter than the former. This is so because the judgment for the living has to do with the living themselves, with the message bearers rather than with the dead. So when judgment started at the ancient men for the house in 2002 at Kermit, Texas, we entered the judgment of the living because the angel of the candlestick was the first one to be judged. Okay. In importance, therefore, there is no comparison between the two. How will we get the message of the judgment for the living? The answer is clear to all. We will get it in the same way we got the one in 1844. Since it then came through the inspiration and through the Elohim's own chosen instrumentality, it is certain that the additional message, early writings, page 277, 2, is to come in the same way that is by the inspiration through the Elohim's own chosen agency. Indeed, truth is never revealed in any other way but by the inspiration. See 2 Peter 1:20. Okay. But yet, when the angel of the candlestick, or let us see it, Kermit, was told that this messenger Elijah David had a message from heaven, he shrunk back at it. He threw up a defense. He said, no, this can't be. This can't be. I'll listen to it, but I'm not going to accept it. As we had to hear the old message preached before we accepted it, we will have to hear the new message preached. And how shall we hear without a preacher? Romans 10:14. And as the old message was unpopular in its beginning, scoffed at, laughed at, ridiculed, and scorned by men of the station and influence, it is certainly expected that the new message and messengers, too, will be received and treated no better, but even worse than it was strictly an individual matter. No priest or prelate could meddle with the conscience of the other, and so it must be now. Every soul is to make his own decision in his secret chamber with the aid of the Spirit of the Truth. Is it possible for one to lose out when the message of the judgment of the living begins to sound? Though he did not lose out when the message of the judgment of the dead sounded, for the Spirit of prophecy answers us. We have nothing to fear for the future, except as we shall forget the way that the Yahweh has led us and his teaching in our past history. That's taken from Life Sketches, page 196. Yes, this is to be our only fear. Let us therefore remember and make positively sure that Elohim is now to lead us in the same way as he did in 1844 and throughout the ages. Make doubly sure that you follow no other kind of the leadership, that you let no man divert your attention from the straight path, that you let no one lead you to believe that the Elohim is now leading through every Tom, Dick, and Harry. This we must not forget if we are to emulate and succeed the saints that have gone before us, and if we expect to be saved, if we forget this, then as sure as we stand, men will lead us away from the Elohim's message and turn us against his messenger. Even as the Jewish priest made their followers turn against the Yahshua, Elohim forbid that we should sin against the Yahweh Spirit by the rejection of his message when it comes to us. Only by strictly following this divine command can we be led right and survive the judgment for the living when it starts to sever the wicked from among the just. Matthew 13:49. What is the judgment for the living? And what happens with the righteous? And what happens with the wicked after they are judged? In his parable, Yahshua illustrates that the righteous are the righteous as the good fish are put into the vessel. As wheat, they are put into the barn, and as sheep, they go into life eternal. They are placed in the absolute security, sealed for the eternity. But the wicked, as bad fish, are cast out, as tares, they are burned up, and as goats, they are sent into every lasting punishment. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of the fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of the teeth, Matthew 13:49 and 50. Here we see that the judgment work for the living is illustrated in their several ways and is variously called judgment. Daniel 7:10, Revelation 14:7, 1 Peter 4:17, cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, purify his temple, Malachi 3:1-3, harvest, Matthew 13:30, mighty sifting, purification of the church, testimony, volume 5, page 80. Concerning this judgment work, the spirit of the prophecy has this to say, that the days of the purification of the church are hastening on apace. Elohim will have a people pure and true, and the mighty sifting soon to take place. We shall be better able to measure the strength of Israel. For the signs reveal that the time is near when the Yahweh will manifest that his fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his sower. They have not had the light which has been shining in a concentrated blaze upon you, that it may be under a rough and uninviting exterior, that the pure brightness of a genuine character, a Christian character, will be revealed. Testimony, Volume 5, page 80. For the fact that the message of the judgment for the living is by far more widely treated by all the Bible prophets than is the judgment for the dead, is in itself proof positive that it is supremely important. I can, however, treat of it only very briefly in this letter. I only give the gist of it. As shown before in the judgment for the dead, the sinners are separated from the righteous in the books only, but in the judgment for the living, the sinners and the righteous are bodily separated one from another, as the inspiration to the prophet Ezekiel explains. And the glory of the Elohim of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, that was in 2002, and he called to the man clothed with the linen, which had the writer's ink on by his side, and Yahweh said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, the church, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abomination that be done in the midst thereof, that's in the Adventist church. And unto the others he said in mine hearing, go ye after him through the city and smite, let not your eyes spare, now to have your pity, slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children, and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. And they began at the ancient men which were before the house. Ezekiel 9:3-6. This brings the close of our study this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. That's number 11. Click on the audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. Beyond the sunset.
Beyond the sunset. Oh, blissful morning. With a Savior, heaven is begun. Earth o'er ended, oh, glorious dawning. The earth is born set, when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather. No storms will threaten, no fears are ignored. Oh, day of gladness, oh, day unending. Beyond the storm set, eternal joy. Beyond the storm set, a hand will guide me. Yah the Father, whom I adore, His glorious presence, His grace of welcome, will be the portion on the shore. Beyond the sunset, oh, glad reunion with our dear loved ones who've gone before. In that fair homeland, oh, we'll know no parting. Beyond the sunset, forever.